Hanen hoor je woord voor je hoop winter bo. Amen. Yesterday, according to the astronomical calendar, was the longest day of the year. It's usually referred to as the summer solstice. And this is a day that we understand has the longest or the most daylight in it. Now, for us, we don't really pay attention to this anymore. Most of the days just blend together. But it was very important for our ancestors, because for them, it meant that they could do more in a day. They could work more. If we remember that only up to about 100 years ago, people worked by the sunlight. And that meant when the sun went down, when it was dusk, they went to bed. Of course, they had candles and they had lanterns, but they could not really do any work per se. The day ended with dusk and they would go home and they would rest. Today, with the invention of electricity, we have electricity 24 hours a day. We have lights constantly on, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. With the flick of a switch, we are able to have light. This is a great blessing, but at the same time, it is a great curse. It means that we also have the ability to bring work home. No longer is work regulated to its workplace. But in doing so, when we bring work home, it means that we never truly rest. And when we bring home work, it's not only the work that comes with us, but all of the stress, all of the complications, all of the problems and issues that are associated with work come home with us. And it affects our families, and it affects our relationships we have. So we've learned to regulate work, leave work in its workplace, and home at home. But at the same time, another thing has happened. We have not only regulated work to its place, but we have started to regulate certain aspects of our life to certain areas or days. And one of those, unfortunately, is God. We have, unbeknownst to us, begun to regulate God to Sundays, to the church. Being a Christian is regulated to a day of the week. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is walking through the fields and he picks some wheat on the Sabbath day. And now the Pharisees see this and they said that this is work and it violated the law. Christ used and explained examples from the Old Testament that may have been part of the law, but when people did them, they were not held guilty. They were not found guilty. And he concludes this discourse with the Pharisees with quoting the prophet Hosea in saying, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Now we've all been there. We've all been in a place where there's a rule or a law or a custom, but we break it for the good of another. Priests are the most guilty of this, more than anyone else, because we want to follow the canons and the traditions of the church and the Holy Fathers. But when in a parish, another's life is so much more important, another's physical and spiritual life is so much more important than following rules and canons. And this always is the case. Seminarians, myself included, when we were in seminary, would always say and talk about how when we end up getting a parish, it would be the most strict, the most adherent to the traditions of our church. But when we ultimately go there, we see that it cannot always be done. Life is so much more important. If we only look around us now, we see that we are in a hall, a Chechen hall. And if we were to follow the canons of the church, we would not be able to celebrate Balarak here. According to the canons, we must celebrate Balarak on an immovable altar that does not shake. We must celebrate Balarak in a sanctuary consecrated with holy muron. But our Surpazan, Daniel Surpazan, our bishop, realized that the spiritual life of the faithful would suffer if we held so strict to these canons. And in his infinite wisdom, he allowed us to celebrate Balarak in this hall. There's a story of a young man whom we would call a hippie, who would wear a tie-dye shirt with holes, blue jeans, no shoes, disheveled hair. And he lived across from a church. And those who frequented this church were always dressed nicely, always had combed hair, and were of the older generation. One day, this hippie young man decided he wanted to go to this church. And so he crosses the street, and church had already begun, and he walks in and he looks for a seat in one of the pews. But the church was packed, and so he decided to walk closer down the aisle up to the altar, and he looked around to see where he could sit. And there was nothing, nowhere. Finally, he arrived right in front of the altar, and seeing that there was nowhere to sit, he decides he's going to sit on the floor. Now, everyone is very uncomfortable at this, and the time for the sermon was just about then, and they're all thinking to themselves, who is going to go up and tell this young man he can't do that? It's not right. It's not part of the custom or the tradition of this church. And then a deacon, seeing what was going on, came down from the altar and approached the young man. And as he approached, everyone thought to themselves, it's about time. And no better a man to do this than this deacon. For he was an old man, very set in his ways, very traditional, and rarely ever smiled. And he approached this man, this young man, the hippie. And as he approached, the entire church was silent, so much so that even the priest about to give his sermon saw all of this that was going on and would not preach until the deacon had done what he needed to do. The deacon came to the young man, and as he got right next to him, he bent down and sat on the floor with him. Now everyone was choked up. Everyone was amazed at what had just happened. Here, this deacon, who was supposed to remove this young man, joined him in prayer on the floor. And the priest said, "What I am about to preach, you will never remember. But what you've just seen, you will never forget. Be careful how you live, because you may be the only Bible that some people ever read." And this is exactly what the Word of God is. This is what our faith is, and this is what Christianity is. It is not rules and regulations and laws and customs and traditions that have to be followed, but it is mercy, it is love, and it is comfort. So many people become upset with our faith because of the rules and the laws. But if we were only to show what it truly is, love, mercy, and comfort, people would finally understand not only what our faith is, but also what Christ is. So as summer begins, I ask that we let our love and mercy towards others not be limited to certain days or hours, or to just following rules and canons. But I pray that our actions move according to the welfare of our brothers and sisters, and in doing so, become Bibles that people can read and ultimately be able to come closer to Christ and glorify Him forever. Amen.